Sonoma County in California is famous for its Pinot Noir and Cabernet grapes. Its wines draw international acclaim. Interestingly, though, the grape is not one of the original crops in this part of Northern California. Every year, locals celebrate the season of a much-beloved apple, the Gravenstein. And this storied fruit has become threatened by the boom of viticulture. Producer Jenny Cecil Moore brings us the story.
In the spring, if you drove all the country roads up here, all you saw was trees in bloom, you know, just beautiful as far as the eye could see. I mean, it was just gorgeous.
That's Paula Shatkin. She moved to the Northern California town of Sebastopol in the late 1990s. She's seen huge changes in this town, once a thriving apple-based economy with orchards of Gravensteins.
I have pictures, actually, of murdered apple orchards. You know, you go by this orchard that you've been driving by forever, and all you see is stumps and the whole trees lying on the ground. And then, at some point soon thereafter, you see, as far as the eye could see, you can see baby grapevines, you know?
Northern California has been synonymous with wine country for several decades now. But that doesn't mean that locals are ready to watch their apple heritage disappear.
When I moved up here, there was a fever pitch process going on up here where apple orchards were being chopped down and made into vineyards. And people were starting to really wake up to it. And I went to an early slow food meeting and said, "Can we do something about that?" And everybody said, "Well, why don't you?" And so that was the beginning.
Shatkin set to work to gain recognition for the Gravenstein. The slow food movement she joined works to educate people about eating local foods when they're in season. At their headquarters in Italy, the organization decides whether a food should be listed as endangered.
Foods that the Slow Food Foundation for Biodiversity adopts need to have cultural significance as well as being good, clean, and fair. Historically, this has been an apple growing area and an apple packing area. And during World War II, all the processors were very busy here drying apples to send to the soldiers in Europe. See here, it says the Gravenstein originated in Denmark.
The apple's origins are disputed, but it likely came from Northern or Central Europe. Historians agree that it was brought to California by the Russians in the early 1800s. Looking at old photos and advertisements, listening to stories, all helped to prove the apple's cultural significance.
I got pictures of all the parades and the adults here who grew up picking apples in the summer, and it's always been a big part of Sebastopol.
The work was worth it. A slow food presidium was established for the Gravenstein. That's the official name for a community group, including farmers, working to protect an endangered food. There are close to 500 presidia in the world, and only 4 in the U.S. Having the presidia designation is good press for the Gravenstein, but it's still an uphill battle when land values are so high.
Nobody can afford to buy land anymore for apple trees. So it has to be people who already have land. And unfortunately, we're still losing apple acreage. They can get so much more money per acre for grapes.
Some local farmers are behind the effort to save the Gravenstein and doing what they can to keep orchards producing apples.
We have Gravenstein Highway, Apple Blossom Elementary. I mean, the whole area is kind of has a lot of remnants of the old apple culture that was so important here. Although maybe more accurately now would be Pinot Noir Highway or Grape Blossom Elementary.
That's Hunter Wade. He's a farmer at Devoto Orchards.
So we're in western Sonoma County, and as you drive out here west, you're getting closer to the coast. We're about 3 miles west of Sebastopol, about 12 miles east of the Pacific Ocean as the crow flies.
Wade works in partnership with his wife, Jolie Devoto Wade. Her family started planting heirloom apples, flowers, and greens in the 1970s. Now the couple produces hard cider with Gravensteins.
I love the Gravenstein. It's my favorite apple to eat, and it's a great apple for making hard cider, too. When you bite into it, you get a big, great zing of acid and
wow,
a really nice, juicy sweetness that goes with it. It's a really balanced apple, and it's not too tart that kids don't like it. And it's tart enough that tart apple lovers, like Macintosh apple lovers, love it.
Wade says cider isn't new. People are just coming back to it.
Cider is really It's kind of having a renaissance. In America's founding days, that was the drink that everyone, alcoholic drink of choice for everyone. People weren't really planting grain fields or hop fields, they were planting apples. And as people moved west, planting apples was also a way to claim land.
Wade says people have started making craft cider, just like they did with beer. Looking for different flavor profiles and textures, cider producers are being creative.
The cider market, 80% of it is millennials from between 20 and 39. They're very adventurous. They want to try new things. They want to have new experiences. The majority of the market are craft beer drinkers, which are very used to trying totally different products. They're not usually just stuck in one thing.
Cider is getting another boost from the gluten-free movement. Since many people are avoiding gluten, most beers are off the list. But cider is gluten-free. Making cider with the Gravenstein is a way to connect old and new.
So I think that exposing the Gravenstein to a whole new generation of people and getting it into their mouth, perhaps not by biting into it, but by drinking it, hopefully is going to make a lot of people connected to it. They love the story of the Gravenstein, and they see the reason why it's important to keep it in our heritage.
This apple is feeling the love. In an era of changing tastes and trends, the Gravenstein has staying power.
Jenny Cecil Moore is a Seattle radio producer whose work explores culture, art, food, and history. She's currently covering the stories of endangered foods in the U.S.